Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Super Bowl is set. What is your immediate reaction to the matchup? Who do you want to win and why?
Well, again, this is not a prediction for the of the game, Dustin. Read the question. It says your immediate reaction to the matchup, and it says who do you want to win, not who will win. So I think those are two interesting differences in what you believe we were set out to do. My immediate reaction is that Patrick Mahomes could go crazy in that game.
Yeah.
That Patrick Mahomes has the capability. Number one, what we have learned is that they are never out of a game, that they can come back from seemingly any sort of a deficit. And, you know, they could put 50 points up and he could throw 7 touchdowns. I mean, he's not going to, but he could definitely throw 5. I think that, that he is the signature player of this Super Bowl. And I think what's interesting, my immediate reaction is just the idea of that defensive line and that pass rush trying to contain or limit Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know that those two things jibe. It is strength on strength, which you always like. Offense, defense, if you will, which you always kind of like. Who do I want to win and why? I suppose I probably would like to see Robbie Gould win the Super Bowl. And I think I probably will be cheering for the Niners. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, local kid, great story. I think I'm probably more, in terms of wanting, probably more wanting Kansas City, probably going to end up, probably more wanting San Francisco, probably going to end up picking Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to hear a lot about the Joe Montana Bowl because he played for both teams. Yep. And you're going to see a lot of Joe Montana footage and probably interviews and tributes to Joe Montana. And I think this will be a Super Bowl that will be defined by another guy who could be considered by the time he's done playing football as one of the best ever. You know, this is the Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl. This is going to be a guy who is football Steph Curry. He is special. He's unique. He's going to be somebody that dictates the course of this game. It is a contrast in styles. It is a referendum maybe on running the ball versus, you know, passing the ball in the video game offense versus old school approach. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is not the guy that's going to throw for 350 yards in this one. And if he does, it's probably because the 49ers are trailing. So I like the matchup because I think it is the two best teams in the respective conferences. But I also think that we're going to hear, until we're tired of hearing, about how Andy Reid needs to win this to get into the Hall of Fame. That will get tiresome, I think, because if he loses it, then what? You know, that's the problem with building this up into this idea that he becomes a Hall of Fame coach if he wins is the answer to the question of what happens if he loses. You know, how do we remember him differently? Is he a dumber coach? Is he not in the Hall of Fame if he fails at this level again? As we mentioned in the open, I think it's an interesting when you have Kyle Shanahan. He was there as an offensive coordinator with the Falcons. 28-3 is going to come up a lot. Andy Reid lost there with the Eagles. It gives them an opportunity to kind of change their respective coaching legacies. I want the Niners to win, but right now, sitting here Monday at 5:30, is Dustin demanding a prediction? I think that the Chiefs will win.
Well, as far as the matchup goes, I'm pretty pleased with it. I would have preferred the Aaron Rodgers versus Pat Mahomes, the star power and all that, but I don't think there's a doubt that San Francisco was the best team in the NFC this year.
Kevin, they if they don't beat Seattle in that ridiculous game that's decided at the goal line, they're the fifth seed. Are they there if they're the fifth seed?
They go on the road.
The way they've been playing, I mean, defensively, it doesn't matter if it's at Levi's Stadium or Wrangler's Field. I mean, I think they could pretty much shut anybody down at any venue. Wrangler's Field is something I just made up. It's a different jeans
Wrangler's
company.
Field?
It's a different jeans company. Try and keep up. It's Monday morning. We're going fast today. We're going fast.
Thanks, Kempo. Sorry.
It's a great matchup, Mully. You mentioned the great offense versus the great defense, kind of a sword versus shield type thing. You love to see perhaps the best offensive unit in the NFL against the best defensive unit with that the front of the 49ers. And David, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes is kind of the NFL Steph Curry. He's got a chance to be more than that. He's got a chance to be the NFL's Michael Jordan. He's already got an MVP under his belt. He's got a chance to win a Super Bowl at age 24, just his second year in the league as a starter, third year overall, second as a starter. He's fast, he's strong, he's elusive, he's got the arm, he's got the brain, he's got everything you want in a quarterback. He is the best player in the NFL. He's the most fun player to watch in the NFL, and he's going to be doing it for another decade or so. I want Kansas City to win because I want this tale and the fable of Patrick Mahomes to begin in earnest when we can already start calling him one of the greatest ever at age 24. And I think if he goes to Miami and they win the Super Bowl behind another crazy performance from him where he puts that offense on his back, I think we can already start to have that conversation.
Well, my initial reaction to the weekend was just, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, just a beast. I mean, as you put it, Mully, the Chiefs are never out of a game with Patrick Mahomes involved. So it's going to be exciting to see what he's going to do in this Super Bowl. I want the Chiefs to win. My other takeaway, by the way, is I'm glad the Packers are out of this thing. Very pleased with that. But
Less if you heard any of his show.
Yes. But the Chiefs, I want them to win because I just love what Patrick Mahomes has been doing since he's come into the league. And just this tear that he is on. I mean, I think they are just going to roll right over. I know the 49ers have a good defense, but I think they are going to be on a tear and roll right over them.
It's a fun matchup. I definitely wanted the Chiefs in this game. I did not want Tennessee Titans were a nice little story. Congratulations. Okay, that was all good and fine and dandy, but that's not what you want to talk about for 2 weeks and not what you want to sit on your couch for 3.5-4 hours on February 2nd watching. Okay, so the Chiefs are going to be fun to watch. As far as 49ers, fine. I just personally wanted to see the Packers get there, and then I wanted to see the Packers get absolutely stuffed and suffer from that Super Bowl losing hangover the teams do. After the fact, though, after the matchup, you kind of think, wow, did we see the end of a bunch of really good NFL quarterbacks, like all-timers, careers? I mean, was that the last time Aaron Rodgers gets to that game? Might be the end of Drew Brees. It might be the end of Tom Brady, and it might be the end of Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers had a pretty good day, even though they didn't win.
No, he didn't, David. That was mop-up,
garbage stats.
His body language, those fumbles that he
body
lost.
Body language. Now you're talking body language.
He needs a shave. Oh, he needs a shave. He needs some sun. He looked. The whole team looked awful.
See, I was
frumpy
with you for a second. Then you start talking about his shave. And the body language.
He needs a
God
shave. His body language was awful. Nothing better. Mully, you pointed out in the start of the show that final score had nothing. That the only thing that was good for was for over players. Okay, people that bet the over on the NFC title game.
I think I'm included in that. I think you know we're going to have some guests from that game. We're going to be talking about his future and his legacy and all that stuff because he did look pretty far away from getting back to a championship game. Now, did you hear him in the post game? Hugely disappointed, and he said, you know, we're not that far away.
Mm-hmm. Window's still open.
You believe
needed,
that?
All they needed was a game to be held in Lambeau, and he thinks they'd be going to the Super
exactly
Bowl.
Exactly. Okay, well. Yeah, all they needed is probably, you know, three more fast players.
I can't wait to get to that.
I want the Chiefs to win. Come on. I think it's good for football. I think shoving Patrick Mahomes in the face of Ryan Pace is good for us as Bears fans. I think it's good for the NFL. The other thing I'm hoping for, with this offense, I want Richard Sherman exposed. Okay, I don't like Richard Sherman.
Oh, he's pretty good.
I don't like Richard Sherman.
Why don't you like Richard Sherman?
You're out of your mind. He's
and
great.
And I don't ever want to hear from his mother again. Yeah. Okay, oh. I don't ever want to hear from his mother again.
Do you want to hear from Darrell Revis
no,
again?
No, Darrell yes, Revis can stay on the couch.
Hero, okay?
Oh, come
Darrell
on.
Revis is my
Let's
new
get
hero.
To the next
Darrell
question.
Darrell Revis was a great
I've heard
player.
Enough.
Was. Well, Richard
my
Sherman
point.
Still is.
Sherman's playing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sherman to be exposed on February 2nd.
Sherman's going to be exposed as a premier Hall of Fame caliber cornerback.
Fraud.
It's a good question, man, and a timely one.
He'll never keep up with Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Or he won't cover him because he's afraid.
So I think a lot of people are afraid of Tyreek Hill. What, if anything, can the Bears take away from the conference championships if it is a copycat league? What should Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, or any of the Bears' brain trust take away from the games?
Well, I guess we have to look at it this way. It's Chicago-centric, and I hope that they didn't look at that game and the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl as a confirmation in everything they believe about offensive football, because that would be fooling yourself. That would be fooling yourself into thinking that what they have you can duplicate because it works. Because it may work, but it also works because you have a transcendent quarterback. You have a guy, as Kevin just compared to Michael Jordan of his sport, you have a guy in Patrick Mahomes that you just can't compare and duplicate. So if it is a copycat league, I would prefer the Bears look at the 49ers approach and copy that. Because that is a, they beat the Packers into submission. They were just dominant up front, and they had a guy in Raheem Mostert that nobody's heard of gain over 200 yards rushing because the holes were gaping. Those were gaping holes. So I would think that would be the takeaway if you're looking at it. I just don't know, though, if that's going to be the case, because this is a matchup between the quarterback that Mitch Trubisky never will be against the guy that he can be in Jimmy Garoppolo. He can be the 6 of 8 guy for 77 yards. He can be the guy who is game manager, not necessarily game winner. And that there are moments when Garoppolo has won games for the 49ers, but he didn't turn the ball over. He protected the football and he handed it off. I hope that's the biggest takeaway for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I think that, you know, we already have a texter wondering why we're talking about Ryan Pace in relation to Patrick Mahomes, because he took a quarterback ahead of him and he traded up to do it, right? Patrick Mahomes is, as you say, he's the new NFL. He is the guy that's come in and Andy Reid lets him play, and they don't, you know, they've scuttled whatever their offensive ideas were, and they just put all these plays together, and guess what? Mahomes can pull it off, including that touchdown run, which was extraordinary. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that one of the things the Bears learned is that the general manager made the wrong pick, because I think we knew that already. But, I mean, you want to talk about a franchise blunder. Getting Mitch over Patrick Mahomes is going to leave a mark for years to come. And certainly if Mahomes ends up winning this game, and as you say, Dustin, this could be a guy announcing himself. Who knows how long that can go on, because they're a different speed than other teams in the NFL. So it's, you know, I don't think the Bears can play the way that the Kansas City Chiefs play. I don't think they have a quarterback that can do it. I don't think they have the kind of a weaponry that can do it. And I think that if you start trying to put that together, then their defense is going to fall apart. So to me, the takeaway is, as you say, look at what San Francisco has done. Look what other teams have done in the playoffs. You know, the Chiefs are the exception to the running teams advancing type of thing.
Yeah, they're the fourth team that threw the ball.
That's right.
Of the four.
That's right. And you know what? They did run the ball a bit yesterday, too.
They tried.
They certainly did some decent things with that and gave themselves a little bit of balance. But, yeah, I don't think there's a – I think the only takeaway is what a blunder.
Of course, a huge blunder. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's just not fair to try to copycat that at all, because there's only one Patrick Mahomes and there's nobody else that plays quarterback that can do what he does. So trying to copy what the Chiefs do is just it's completely asinine, because you can't copy Patrick Mahomes and you can't copy Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. They're loaded with offensive weapons to support the quarterback, who is phenomenal in his own right. If the Bears wanted to take something away from these games, you know, obviously they can try to build themselves more up in the image of the 49ers. I'd love to see Mitch only throw 8 times a game next year. If he's going to be the starting quarterback, that would save me a lot of grief and a lot of really bad football. But you just look at the defensive line of the 49ers. It's just, it's unbelievable. And they even missed on a huge pick with Solomon Thomas the year that they gave up that pick. That was a bust, but, you know, he's surrounded by players like Buckner and Nick Bosa, Armstead. I mean, these were all guys taken in the first round, built up over time, and that is the strength of the team. The Bears have a good defense. I don't know that they have a unit individually that's as good as that front for the 49ers, but certainly they can learn something by running the football. I don't think we know what David Montgomery is quite yet. As a rookie, we didn't get to see him put in the best positions or maybe see him at his best. Who knows? Maybe he could be, you know, that bell cow number one running back if they give him the opportunity and they tailor the offense more toward the run than the pass. And that's what they need to do, I think, if they wanted a takeaway from yesterday.
Super Bowl 54 is just the second Super Bowl ever between a team that led its conference in rushing yards and one that led in passing yards.
Look at you. That's a really good stat.
That's a good stat. And the 49ers rushed for 2,305 yards. That's the takeaway. If you commit to a run game, Bears, you can make it to the Super Bowl. This is the thing that Ryan Pace needs to do is look at this team on offense, the Bears, in 2019 had absolutely no identity other than the fact that they were no good. And so if you commit to the run game, not only are you committing to an identity, but you are committing to doing what Mitchell Trubisky does best, the quarterback you committed to as a starter again for 2020. So I think that's the big takeaway, Ryan Pace. Run the damn ball.
Well, you definitely need to know that you have to run the ball. You also have to know that you need to let Mitch run the ball and encourage Mitch to run. See what Patrick Mahomes did yesterday, right? Melly, you mentioned that to start that little tiptoe down the sideline absolutely changed the game. It also gave him a little more, like that guy needs more mojo, but that really, like, I felt like he, like, elevated himself. Like, he just felt like, I can't, like, today's my day. I can't be stopped. They're deficient everywhere. You point out they want to be the Chiefs, but if you go position by position around the field, except maybe Allen Robinson, but like different. Like the Chiefs don't necessarily have a guy like that, but they don't need a guy like that. Like Allen Robinson, what he does is better than what any of the Chiefs guys do. But, you know, Cohen is not Hill. Like they just don't have the guys, and they're so deficient at tight end.
Shaheen,
and they're so deficient at quarterback. I mean, they're not even in the cry room. Like I like to talk about, you know, right church, wrong pew, and the Bears are. It's so they showed up 30 minutes late to Christmas Eve kids mass. They were in the parking lot listening on the closed circuit radio. That's how far away they are from being anywhere.
Speaking from experience there?
No. We're always early. You guys know I'm always early.
All right. You know,
I've just seen it before.
Pretty vivid example there.
Here's the question. You know, do we think, are the Bears closer to being able to commit to the run and play kind of like the 49ers do, or are they closer with some free agency and a couple of hits in the draft, closer to being in what the Chiefs are? I think you got to pick a lane. The question is, which lane will they pick? Which lane should they pick? Hopefully they learn something. There's a lot to learn from yesterday. But what have they learned? Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait and see. But there's a blueprint out there. I just think they have to decide which blueprint they want to follow.
I don't quite get the question.
What did you make of Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts getting booed when talking about the marquee network? Was it Ricketts or the network that fans had a problem with?
I think it was the network more than anything else. I think the idea that fans don't know if they're going to be able to watch the games, that there is no deal done with Comcast, and the idea that the Cubs are going to a cable channel that may or may not be on your cable system has got a lot of people peeved. And I think that was the reaction to it. I don't think anyone's thrilled about the offseason or the lack of movement and money and the idea that, you know, fans don't care about the luxury tax. They don't have a lot of leeway for it. But I think the network is a totally different deal, and the fans feel that that's representative of the Cubs making money as opposed to spending money. And I think it's just a normal reaction, the idea that you're going to lose something that you got for free somehow.
I think it was a combination of both, because we talked to Tom Ricketts on Saturday morning with Bruce on Inside the Clubhouse. Good conversation. And I think that he was a little defensive about the fact that what he was being booed. But I think that he was symbolic of the change that you talk about, Molly, and going to the network that's going to cost Cubs fans money and also represents what they're not spending, you know, on their baseball team. If you're the owner or the chairman of a team that in this offseason has gotten rid of a popular manager in Joe Maddon and is shopping a popular player in Chris Bryant, I don't know how you would be surprised by some sort of negative reaction. Tom did seem really legitimately surprised that he was hearing boos when he mentioned Marquis, and I think people got a little carried away. It was a funny moment. It was not something that was, I think, that really surprising. The Marquis challenge is real because it represents change. It represents people having to pay extra. And it also may represent people not knowing if they can actually watch their team in their town. And that is troubling. So when Tom Ricketts gets on stage and he mentions that, I think is a combination of both.
Well, my reaction, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Tom, definitely not used to that sort of reaction, not used to that sort of blowback, I'm sure, and he was clearly taken aback by it. I did enjoy your conversation that you and Bruce had with him after the fact. I was in my car up a little bit early. I heard a lot of the show on Saturday. Nice job there, David, doing extra work.
Yeah.
It was definitely the network that they were booing. I think as unhappy as fans have been with the off season and the team not spending the kind of money that they would like to be spent, I don't think that they would boo Tom at that point, because they did boo immediately when he came out at the top of his presentation or whatever you want to call it. It was when the network came up, because yeah, it's going to be more money that you're going to be paying. You're not sure if you're going to be able to see the games. Nobody really asked for this. I don't think it's kind of been, to quote the president, foistered upon Cubs fans. Nobody really asked for the marquee network. They just want to watch games on WGN or NBC or hell, you could listen to every game here on the Score for the price of free 99 if you're interested in going about that way as well.
Did you say free 99?
Free 99.
Free 99.
Every Cubs game available on the Score for free 99 in the year 2020. I think they were definitely booing the network, not Tom, but I laughed my arse off regardless.
I laughed too. I was very interested to see what this reaction would be. I anticipated booing would take place when the marquee network was mentioned, and sure enough, that's what happened. And were they booing Ricketts or the network? I think both, because Ricketts is the ownership. This is the ownership decided to make this move, and I understand that more teams are going to do this type of thing where they own their own network and provide their own content and own all of their content and things like that. We will see more and more teams make this type of move, but you're in a situation where Comcast is literally the coverage, literally covers about half of the market in Chicago. So it's what Cubs president of business operations called the big domino. And if you don't get the big domino on board to carry your network, that's kind of a problem. So I understand why fans booed, and I think they were booing both Ricketts and the network. And Kevin's right. You can always listen here on the Score.
Foistered.
I think it's the perceived politics of that network that they were booing. I think this was a political reaction of booing. I don't think it was Tom at all. I did find the line, in a year from now, you won't be booing the network. That I found interesting. That was kind of like, what exactly did he mean by that? What does that mean? Like, you'll be entertained by the network?
You'll like it when you get it.
Confidence.
You'll like the product. Yeah. You'll like what they're putting out.
I think
you have to wait and see. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we've talked about it. I have AT&T right now. I can't get the NFL Network. I can't get the Red Zone channel. I was about to switch, But when I was about to switch, I found out that AT&T had reached a deal with Marquee and Xfinity Comcast still had not. So I decided to stand pat because it's more important for me to have the Cubs games than it is to watch Red Zone.
You think I'm stupid or something?
Are you excited by the idea of Lou Piniella returning to the Cubs as an announcer on the Marquee Network? And is that the biggest addition for the Cubs this offseason?
Well, I think everybody can't get enough of Lou. He's fun. He's folksy. And I don't know what he's going to bring to a team he hasn't really paid a whole lot of attention to. His insight will be valuable at times. I don't know how big his role will be. I don't know how big any of these roles will be for these guys. I think that was pretty inexact and wasn't really fully explained. We'll find that out. The idea of three men in the booth is kind of confusing to me. Don't know how that's going to work out. We heard from Chris Myers. He's on the Fox sidelines. He's going to be doing some play-by-play. He tweeted out. There's a lot of unanswered questions that maybe we can get somebody to come on the station and clear up. It is fun to kind of kid that the Cubs made a bigger splash in hiring people to fill their TV network than they did to supplement their roster. The names are bigger. And I'm looking forward to DeRosa. I'm looking forward to Dan Plesac, Doug Glanville. I'm glad they retained him because he is really solid to me. But I think that Sinclair and I guess as an extension, Marquee, they're going to have to decide here, or I guess maybe they're going to learn this as they go. And this is a big picture question. Local versus national. Are the Cubs a local story, a local team? Or are they a national team or a national story? Because they just filled, I think, they're treating it like it is going to a national reach. And they are a national team. But I do wonder what that's going to do in the Chicago area when you have issues already with launching and the accessibility of this. And also the people, the relatability of some of the people they're putting in the booth and in the studio.
Yeah, I think the Cubs are a national story. I think that they're putting together a group of some really good broadcasters. You know, I mean, Dan Plesac does a great job. Rick Sutcliffe has done a great job. So these are really good people to have on your side. Lou is awesome. I mean, I could listen to Lou all day. I don't know what it is about him that is so charming, but I like the idea that he hasn't been following because I just want his honest reaction to whatever he sees at the time. And he doesn't have to put it into any sort of context for me. Just tell me what you see, Lou. What did you think about this or that? And what would you have done here or there? I think that's fair and open season. What local issues are we going to miss? Like, they're not going to talk about the White Sox on the Cubs network? I don't expect that.
No,
I think they'll talk about the Cubs in relation to the Nationals.
I think you're right, but I think that if you bring in these guys one after another, I wonder if every time you bring in somebody to replace somebody else, are they going to be repeating what they, the continuity? I do wonder about that.
I don't mind that. I like new voices and different things, and I like the idea that I'm going to be able to pick out which of these guys I think is the best and which they should use more and all that. And I think, you know, when you're starting out with a network like this, it could well be that they end up bringing in the same guys and doing the same stuff all the time. So, I'm all for new voices, and these are familiar voices. These are people that we know. And, I think the big news of the convention was really the broadcasters, and I really like the idea that these guys are going to be a part of it. It's going to be better than I thought it was.
Well, you don't sign any players to, play for the actual team in the offseason. You have to find something to get excited about, and I guess this is the thing that Cubs fans are forced to get excited about, Lou Piniella and Doug Glanville. Okay, sure. What can I say here? I mean, Lou Piniella on television is good for us. He's going to provide some hilarious audio and drops that we can use. Len and JD are back. That's good news. Familiar voices there. Carlos Pena, Mark DeRosa are good analysts on the MLB network here. But, I mean, I'm not excited about this. I mean, come on.
Well, I'm excited about Lou Piniella. I think he's hilarious. So I'm excited to see what crazy stuff he's going to say throughout the season. Definitely excited there. Is he the biggest addition this offseason? No, it's David Ross as manager is the biggest addition to the Cubs team, and that is troubling because you have a team that has made no moves this offseason, an offense that struggles, and an old starting rotation. I am very nervous about this Cubs team.
Well, I'll admit, I did not see Lou Piniella coming, right? I mean, some of these guys and gals, you thought, might make sense. A couple other ones that don't make sense to me, but I'll leave that
gal
out.
Gal singular.
Right now. Gal, one gal. She didn't make much sense to me either.
She looks very talented.
Yes. And I hear she's tall. Taller than me, which doesn't make me happy. The biggest until Castellanos is on another team, I think the possibility of Castellanos coming back is still real. Maybe there is something to that. I mean, I just don't understand. He had a hell of a second half of his baseball season, and he's still a free agent. Why is that? Doesn't make any sense to me. Plenty of people need corner outfielders. Plenty. Everybody can use a corner outfielder. So I think that's going to be the biggest addition.
You're clinging to that.
Yes. I think that will be the biggest
addition.
That'd
be a big one.
Right, and it'd be big. And I thought David Ross was excellent over the weekend. I thought he won the convention. Is that part of the question? I don't know, but I threw it out there.
Yeah, he was good. Rossi.
No more grandpa.
That's a good question, David.
Yeah, he's not your grandfather anymore. These aren't your grandfather's Cubs. Patrick Kane became the fourth player in Blackhawks history and the 90th in NHL history to record 1,000 career points with an assist on Sunday night. Where does Kane rank among all-time Hawks greats, and how would you sum up his legacy by the time he's done playing?
This is a difficult question, to be honest with you, because I think he's one of the all-time great Blackhawks. You know, I think he's one of the best American-born players in NHL history. And I think that he is never going to be mentioned in the same breath as Wayne Gretzky or, you know, fill in the blank. But he is a hell of a hockey player. I think when we start looking at former all-time Blackhawks, he's up there. And he has a real legacy here. I don't know that legacy isn't tarnished by some of the off-the-ice stuff. And I don't know how we will feel about it by the time his career is over. But certainly winning 3 Stanley Cups is a huge deal. Being the big game player that he has been, scoring some really remarkable goals and doing it at the big moment. But I do think that there is a little tarnish on that legacy, and I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about it by the time his career is over. I think that he has matured, but it was something that had to happen, and there was a time where they were thinking about getting rid of him for a good reason. And, you know, look, I it's very difficult for me to think about some of the Blackhawk legends that I got to see when I was a kid, like Bobby Hull. I remember when Bobby Hull left and just how damaging that was for everybody that liked the Blackhawks, and Stan Mikita, all the years that he put in. I mean, I think of those guys differently than I do the current players, because those guys were a lot older than me and these guys are a lot younger than me. And it's just hard to put all that in context. You know, Taser was an unbelievable captain, was an, you know, so does Kane have the career he had without guys around him like a, you know, listen, Marian Hossa is an unbelievable legacy as a Blackhawk, right? Already came in here fully established, but really did wonders to get Stanley Cups to this town. You know, we mentioned Taze. You talk about some of the defensemen. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Patrick Kane's great. I just wish there wasn't that kind of black eye on the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he's 31 years old. By the time his career is over, that will be something that is certainly stands out as a dark period in his career. But I think that overall, you'll remember him as, depending on what generation you belong to, the best Blackhawk ever will be either Bobby Hull or Patrick Kane. He's the youngest American to ever get the 1,000 points. He got there the quickest. By the time it's all said and done, he'll have at least 3 Stanley Cups. He'll have, you know, probably he's got a lot of time left. He's taking care of himself. He's kind of recommitted to fitness in the last 5 years or so, and you can see him stick around for a long time. He'll be known as the best American-born hockey player ever. And while he has been fortunate to play on some very good teams, he's special. He is like Patrick Mahomes. When you talk about guys who are just freakishly talented and skilled, that's Patrick Kane on skates. And Chicago is lucky to have him in this city for a long time, and he still, to me, is as exciting as any athlete to watch in town.
I mean, he's certainly the best Blackhawks player I've ever seen, and you combine all of the accolades and all the goals and all of the Stanley Cups, you know, he's going to be no no lower than second or third. I mean, with the chance to still ascend, you know, given that he's only 31 years old. Obviously, you know, there's off the ice stuff, but I think if there's one thing you can say that recently, over the past 5-6 years, however long it's been, he seems to have kept his nose clean and maybe grown up a little bit and put all that BS behind him. You can hope for that. But on the ice, certainly the best I've ever seen. No question about it.
He's towards the top of greatest Blackhawks players of all time. He's in the conversation for the greatest Blackhawk of all time, for sure. The hell of a career, but yeah, his legacy will always be tainted.
It's after 6 o'clock. He's the best Blackhawk I've ever seen and could be end up being the best Blackhawk of all time.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.